everybody. We're back. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food, and it is the middle of October, October 15th, 2013. Lovely, lovely fall day, sunny. It doesn't even feel like fall here in New York City, actually. It's been pretty moderate, lovely weather. My favorite time of year. How about you? And there's some really fun foods to eat around this time. We're getting into those heartier, heavier things. I've been playing around a lot with beets. You can't beat them, right? I get a delivery of produce with a particular business that I subscribe to from time to time, and they bring organic vegetables every week, and we're getting a lot of beets. And I don't know. I guess some people can eat beets all the time. I kind of have to be in the mood for them, and sometimes I throw a chunk into my green juice or just steam them up and have them ready to slice in salad. I was a little adventurous and made a borscht soup last week, which I've made them from time to time over the years, but this was a slightly different variation, and it was surprisingly wonderful. I added a little barley miso to it because I had read that some borscht soups had a beef stock, and I like to go to miso, especially the darker ones, when I want that heavier, meatier texture or flavor. And this was an incredible mix. I'm constantly surprised about the mixing of different flavors and foods, things that you would never think would go together, and then you put them together, and they're either good or they're not good, but when they're good, it's really good. I haven't posted that recipe, but I will get to it sometime soon. All right, let's get on with the show, shall we? So we were just talking about some really serious stuff with Hope Ohanek's book, The Ultimate Betrayal, and I commend her for putting all of that information together. So useful. And I appreciate people trying to do the best that they possibly can in their lives, especially when it comes to food. And I think if you're going to put the effort to look for foods like organic milk or organic eggs because you think the animals are going to be treated better and the food is going to be better quality, can't you go that extra step and not choose them at all and go for the plant options instead? This book gives you all the reasons why you should, because even though we want to believe those animals are treated better, they really have a pretty miserable life. And now there's no reason not to eat an entirely plant-based food, and we're going to find out a little bit more about that in just a moment, because there are so many fab alternatives. And one of the things people say when you mention that you should give up dairy is that thing called cheese. Everybody loves their cheese. Oh, I can't give cheese. There's cheese addictions. And we've got some good news for you. So I'm going to bring on my wonderful next guest, John Slim. He's got a new book out called Cheesy Vegans. He's an award-winning author of 15 books on cooking, entertaining, history, how-to, and fiction. He holds a master's degree from Harvard University and travels the country speaking about cooking and entertaining. He lives in Pennsylvania. Welcome back to It's All About Food, John.
Hey, Karen. It is so exciting to be back with you and all of your great listeners.
Thank you. So what have you been doing? You've been talking to a lot of people. You were just talking to Mary Lou Henner. Is that correct?
Yeah. I how lucky am I to get to talk to both you and Mary Lou Henner on her show earlier today, all in one day.
All in one day.
Yeah, and I'm doing Victoria Moran's show tomorrow. So
oh, nice.
I have three of my favorite ladies in one week.
Oh,
you
thank
know, I'm
you.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I really am.
Well, I hope the last program went well and that you've got more energy to go to talk more about your cheesy vegan recipes.
Oh, absolutely. It's always so fun talking to you. And I really appreciated the last segment you did. You know, for me, it's all about the animals. You know, the delicious food is a given. You're always going to find that in my cookbooks or else I wouldn't be writing them. But I really write them so that on some level those animals out there know that we're thinking of them and that they're not alone. So, you know, I appreciate hearing interviews interviews and hearing about books like that.
Yeah, well, I'm with you where I want to think about the fun things. I want to think about the joyful things and the delicious food that's out there, but I can't forget why this all started and why I really do it. And it's a hard thing to think about. I find that when I do kind of open my soul to the reality of what's going on, I can't take very much of it in, frankly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm out there on the lecture circuit. I do a lot of the veg fests, and I do not do cooking demos. You know, in fact, they've luckily stopped even asking me to do cooking demos because I love to get up there and I talk about the whole concept of embracing compassion, whether it's through tasty activism, like, you know, eating delicious plant-based food. And yes, it can be delicious, and yes, it can be fun. But, you know, it's really about, at the end of the day, letting those beautiful animals know that we're right there with them, and we're trying to make a difference in the world for them. And, you know, it's always a thrill when I'm out on the road to get to talk about them. And, you know, I delivered the keynote at Poplar Spring Animal Sanctuary about a week and a half ago. And, you know, just to be able to literally jump in the pig pen with those gorgeous pigs and give them a big hug was just such a thrill for me.
Well, what's exciting, I was looking at your schedule, and you've been pretty busy talking at a variety of different places, but what's exciting is there are so many of these events. Some of them are large and some of them are small, but there are veg festivals popping up all over the place.
It's great. It's really great. And what I love about it is it speaks to the heart of grassroots efforts, which is what we are all about, you know? And so I'm always thrilled, whether it's a small new event or a large established event, I'm always thrilled and so honored to be invited to speak. You know, at the beginning of the summer, I spoke at the very first Rehoboth Beach Veg Fest. So it was great to be there at the dawn of what's going to be for years to come a great veg fest there. And I just emceed DC Veg Fest, which, you know, those people, they've been around a while. They're creating the blueprint for how you do a veg fest. So it's just so great. You know, such a great mixture of positive energy and compassion.
Now, I'm assuming that there are more younger people at these festivals.
No, it runs the gamut. That's what's so exciting to see. You know, I think, you know, there's this stereotype out there, especially among, like, non-vegans and vegetarians, that they seem to have this, like, image of the granola-eating hippie. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I know a few granola-eating hippies, and I love them to no end.
It's an amazing image that has persisted. I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the case anymore. You go to these veg fests and you meet every age group, every socioeconomic, you know, it just goes right across the demographics, and it's so great to see. And, you know, with the cheesy vegan, I am starting to hear stories from a lot of parents out there who are telling me their kids are getting in on the cheesy vegan action because my recipes for making the cheeses are so simple. Kids can actually get in the kitchen, do this with their parents or whomever, and they're having fun. So they're learning about quality time. They're learning about good, healthy food, and that just sends me right over the moon. I love that.
Okay. We're going to get to your book in a moment, but there's a number of different vegan cheeses that exist on our planet today,
yes.
And I've got them in three categories. So one is the kind that we see more and more in health food stores and in some regular supermarkets. They're different varieties. For the most part, I give the companies that are making those cheeses a lot of credit. I personally don't care for any of them. It's just a personal thing. And for some people that are transitioning and really find it hard to live without cheese, some of them have really helped them. And it's just something about having a fatty, salty plop of something that gets soft on whatever it is they're eating that feeds the addiction or is comforting, whatever it is. So there's that. Then there are the kinds that you can make at home, and we're going to get more into that because these are my favorite kind, and they're easy, and they're fun, and they're just fabulous on so many levels, and we're going to get back to it. But then there's this game-changing thing going on, which we haven't really seen yet, but there are some very special people out there working in laboratories that are taking these nut and seed-based milk bases and adding cultures to them and making cheese like cow cheese and sheep cheese and goat cheese have been made for centuries and thousands of years. And they're making them now out of nut milks. This is very exciting. It's fascinating. And I'm really curious to see where that's going to go. It's kind of hard to do that at home, although I did talk to Miyoko Shinner when her book came out, and I've done some of it at home. But it's very, very time-consuming.
Yes.
Have you tried any of those?
Well, you know, I did, as you can imagine, a lot of research, extensive research, when I was writing this book. And, you know, some of the vegan cheese recipes out there, and you can find tons on the Internet, you practically need a chemistry degree.
Yeah, well, I have one, so that's why I go into it.
Well, I do not, you know, so those things go right over my head. I would need you to come over, and I should have called you up, because I'm trying to figure out some of these recipes, and I'm like, I don't even know, I can't even pronounce some of these words, let alone figure out what I'm making, and I'm like, that is fine for the people in the labs who are, like you said, hopefully creating some really delicious cheeses that we're going to enjoy in the years to come. But for my cookbook, The Cheesy Vegan, I wanted to bring vegan cheese home to Main Street for all of us to enjoy in really simple and easy recipes that even kids can make. And so that was the priority for me in this book. You know, I'll leave the chemistry up to all of you chemists, which we certainly need chemists in the world. I'm a huge supporter of that.
Well, for food that's mass-produced, there's a lot of chemical engineering involved, and I'm not sure if that's a good thing, but it's definitely out there. And one of the scary things that I found about making these things at home, because I would make like a yogurt with a probiotic culture, and you leave it out on the counter or in a warm environment, and you can do this for days, and this stuff is growing, which is what cheese is all about. But I'm thinking, you know, is it clean enough? Am I doing the right thing? And it can be scary, and I didn't have the test equipment to see if I was growing anything that I shouldn't have. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, and there are things that go wrong in the cheese business, where there's all kinds of things that they have to check for, and sometimes cheeses get out that and dairy products get out that have a lot of dangerous things in them, and now we have a government shutdown and no one's inspecting. And
oh my, I know. Well, you know, and I think the complicated recipes that are out there, whether it's for vegan cheese or some other vegan dishes, it gives everything, all the work the rest of us are trying to do, a really bad name. And I think it has from the beginning, because people think vegan food, plant-based food, is weird, mysterious. At the end of the day, it's tasteless, it's blah. You know, I always say, I think non-vegans and vegetarians still think that we all eat something akin to hummus smeared on cardboard using these weird ingredients you can only find in a health food store, I don't know, on Mars or something. And, you know, from the very beginning with my first book, The Tipsy Vegan, and then Grilling Vegan Style, and now The Cheesy Vegan, I've been determined to smash through those silly and ridiculous stereotypes and create recipes that I call small town friendly, because I live in a small town, and so I want my friends and neighbors here to be able to go to our supermarkets and occasionally the liquor store, of course, and find, you know, pretty much all of the ingredients they're going to need. And, you know, if there are a few ingredients that may be new to some of the readers, I give them either homemade versions of those or easy online sources door-to-door where they can order them. But those are very rare and few and far between. But I think it's good to also introduce readers, whether it's in small town or anywhere, to a few new ingredients. We all need that. But, no, the days of complicated recipes need to be behind us, certainly where I'm concerned.
Okay, the thing that people love about cheese is, as I mentioned before, the salt and the fat. And there are so many things that are so unhealthy about cheese, cholesterol and the bad saturated fats and a whole host of things that are in dairy and other animals' milk products that we shouldn't be consuming. Anybody, even the animals of those species, don't consume their own milk as adults. And there's a lot of cruelty involved, and there's environmental degradation. Okay. Your cheeses are practically guilt-free. They're made with primarily whole ingredients that have great nutrition, and you're also getting the salt and the fat, but it's all good food. So let's jump into that. Now, there is one mysterious ingredient, and we need to talk about it a bit, and that's the magical ingredient, agar.
Yes.
Let's talk about agar. And why do people say agar, agar sometimes?
I'm not sure why people feel the need to say it, other than, you know, it's such a bizarre word, and sometimes it's fun to pronounce it twice. So I'm not sure, you know, agar, agar. It sounds actually like a Halloween word, since we the season is upon us. Maybe, you know, the new costume this year should be, you go as agar, agar.
Oh, that's what I'm going to be for Halloween now.
Right, it's going to be the hottest costume. Let's do it, and let's see what how we interpret that into a costume. It, you know, at its most basic, it's a powder, or it comes in flake form as well. It's a vegan gelatin, and as we know, the gelatin that we have all sort of known for decades is not vegan for a lot of reasons that we probably don't even want to get into, but I think if people, you know, did a little research, they'd find out what really is in regular gelatin.
Cartilage, bone cartilage from animals.
Leave it to the chemist. I'll let you. Yeah, I mean, it's just absolutely disgusting when you think about it. And there are, a lot of ingredients like that. Refined table sugar has what? Animal bone char in it, and most people don't realize that. So you just got to be so aware. But the agar agar. I'm really thinking of costumes now.
I'm thinking of? You mentioned powder and flakes, but I've bought the long strands of agar from our Chinatown stores. I don't know if you've seen that. They're like long, long, almost noodly, and they're really hard to manage. But I'm thinking, what a great costume it would make. Kind of like a weird cousin it wearing all this white, long, stiff strands.
I want to see photos of you dressed as this Halloween. I will be expecting a tweet on Halloween from you. Again, that's one of those new ingredients that I have introduced. I think a lot of longtime vegans and probably vegetarians will have heard of it and be familiar with it, but it is going to be new to some readers. It's basically used as a binding ingredient to hold a lot of the other ingredients together in the cheeses. It has no flavor in and of itself, but I think it's, once you get used to working with it, the readers will use it in more than just the vegan cheese recipes. You're going to start seeing a lot of other recipes where you can use it in as well.
And it can be tricky to use. You really need to get the right amount, to the right liquid to agar amount, and sometimes if people are using flakes and the recipe calls for powder and vice versa and they're not using a weight scale, they might not get the right amount.
That's right. And so I tried to, make sure that I was very specific when it's best to use the powder in some of these cheese recipes, flakes, or if you can use either or, that's laid out with the exact measurements. And, speaking of chemistry, making cheese, the recipes are easy, but just like in baking, it's a little bit, it's chemistry. I mean, cooking is chemistry, and in some cases, you really do have to be pretty precise in the way you follow the recipes. And I think with vegan cheese, it's like that. You want to stick as close as you can to the actual cheese recipes. Now, when you get into the 100-plus food recipes in the rest of the book where you can use the cheese, you have a little more freedom with some of the spices and herbs and other ingredients. If you want to add a little more or a little less of this or that, you have that freedom. But when it comes to specific things like making the cheese or, again, in baking, you want to be sure that you stick pretty close to the recipe. I've heard that from people around the world, actually, because I just did this great thing on Google Plus called Vegan Mainstream Cookbook Club. And I was their featured author last week, and different people from around the world said, we don't have pimentos where we live. What could we use in some of these recipes where it calls for it? And so I said, basically, the easiest thing would be some roasted red bell peppers. There's nothing like a pimento, but, of course, roasted red bell peppers is basically the same, and it's delicious. And so they used it, and they found that it worked pretty well. Some people, one woman, she can't eat cashews, which appear in some of the cheese recipes.
Right.
Now, she's not allergic to nuts. She just cashews causes an issue. So she substituted a combination of macadamia nuts and pine nuts.
Mm. Delicious.
I can't wait to try that now. I'm like, I wish I would have thought of that. That sounds incredible. You know, of course, macadamia nuts can be a little pricey. And, you know, we like to keep the recipes to a, at least to a price point where they're as accessible as possible to everybody. But this, it just goes to show how creative people are out there, and especially the home cooks. They're just getting better and better, and I love it.
All right, so just give us a basic idea on how it works. I know there's a lot of different recipes, but what do people know? What do people need to know on how to make these things? So before they go out and buy your book, they're forewarned or prepared as to what it takes, because it really is pretty simple.
Yeah, well, you know, I can simplify, honestly, and I can only speak for my recipes. Otherwise, go get a chemistry degree before you go out and get some of these other recipes. I can't vouch for them. But I can simplify my cheese recipes down to four words. Mix, blend, set, eat.
No, I like the last part.
Yeah, well, that's everyone's favorite, right? My favorite, too. But it really is that simple. You're going to find that these recipes do not have a lot of ingredients, and basically you're mixing some of them, you're blending some of them, you're putting it all together, and you're letting them set from anywhere, depending on the cheese, from 1 hour to maybe overnight, and I specify that so you know if you're going to have to start a day ahead. And then you just eat them. And it really is that simple. Mm. And, you know, people just don't believe it until they see the book and say, these are really simple. And I'm like, it couldn't be any other way with me, because I'm just not going to get – I want anyone from the first-time home cook to, you know, the seasoned top chefs out there to be able to pick up this book and just run with it and have – because it's about having fun. You know, like I with my other books, this is meant to be a party in a book. Check reality on page one and just come along with me and let's have fun.
Okay, so your cheeses, some of them have cashews in them as the fat base. Sometimes you use tofu. I noticed you have this mozzarella recipe that I love, which was made from oatmeal and tahini. Very surprising ingredients. And no agar.
Yes, so... You know, agar isn't used in every recipe. The recipes, so, you know, someone who might be a little freaked out by that, you know, doesn't have to feel that they're going to have to get acquainted with agar so soon. They're going to be able to try some other ingredient combinations and come up with some really great results.
Now, where did you get these recipe inspirations? I know that my first vegan cheese recipe I got from Real Food Daily with agar, and I've been making variations on that ever since. Did you have any inspirations, or did you just start from scratch?
Well, you know, I did, like I said, research extensively all the different recipes that are out there, to the point that I was literally dreaming vegan cheese. And the idea was, how can we take, you know, let's look at all the cheddars and how have these cheddar cheese, vegan cheddar cheeses been done? And frankly, how are, you know, dairy cheddar, you know, I researched a lot about how dairy cheeses are created. And how can we take those components all together and really simplify it down to the easiest way to create a delicious cheddar cheese, mozzarella cheese, Swiss, you know, all the standards are in here. And that's really how, you know, and I say we, I work with a really great test kitchen team that I've assembled. You know, you mentioned I've done 15 books. About 10 of those have been cookbooks. You know, I wrote cookbooks even before I was vegan. So over the course of my career, I have, you know, really gathered a great team around me, which is really important to have, and really to get those down to those core ingredients that would be easy and understandable for everyone to create.
Mm. Okay, so we've got the cheeses, and you have a lot of different variations of them. Some are harder, some are softer and spicier and whinier. And
and by whine you mean not a complaining cheese, the actual, you know, you can never take the tipsy vegan away from me. Once a tipsy vegan, always.
Right, and smoked, and it's like what we do with all our vegan recipes. It's all about the flavorings that make our food delicious. It makes all food delicious. If you add some smoky flavoring or some horseradish, and there's just so many wonderful flavors that go so well with fat.
Isn't that true? Interesting how that works, right?
Yeah. And then you come up with all the comfort recipes afterwards that what people can do with these cheeses.
Yeah, I mean, there's an entire chapter dedicated just to mac and cheese. There's an entire chapter dedicated just to cheesecake, but which, of course, that was a no-brainer. Those two absolutely demanded their own chapters. But then you'll find everything from breakfast and brunch, snacks, soups, salads, right on through supper. Every occasion is covered. I really want this cookbook to be something that people can use on a daily basis if they so choose. And, you know, one of the parts of the book that I'm hearing the most about really is the extensive pairing chart that I put in the back. And again, you know, it's the tipsy vegan coming through, but I took each of the homemade cheeses and really by association the rest of their dishes throughout the book, and I paired them with suggested red and white wines, beer, classic cocktails, and really other spirits. So you can take cheddar, for example, if that's what you're going to make, and you could pair it with a Chardonnay or a Merlot or a great lager or a gin martini. Mm. So I outline that for people who really want to, because, you know, today the hottest way to entertain is to do a tasting with either beer or wine and whatever food. And I get to do that quite a bit, and so I wanted to put that in the book and so that people can do that and, of course, go off on their own tangents in a million different directions. And I even put where people can do a vegan cheese of the month club with their friends, and so I outline an entire year of suggestions for what you could make in January or February or March, maybe divide it up, and 1 month you make the cheese and have us all over, the next month I'll do it and have you all over. Fun, 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 fun. That's what it's all about.
This is not about deprivation.
No, no. This is about fun and indulgence. But at the end of the day, you can feel good that in, you know, eating food that is good for you, you're also spreading more compassion to the world and really sending a great message out there for all of our animal friends. And, you know, all of the dedications in each of my three vegan cookbooks, they're all the same to all the animals, so you know that you have not passed this way unloved.
Oh.
That's so important.
Yes.
Because there's not a day that goes by, I know for you and certainly for me, that our hearts don't break about those animals. But, you know, we can send them love, and this is one way I can do that.
Okay, a few things I learned in this book. I did not know what nooch was.
Yes, the street name for nutritional yeast.
How did I not know that? What street is that on? Nooch.
Well, and you know, that is why at the beginning of the Cheesy Vegan and all of my vegan cookbooks, I do a really detailed vegan pantry section, talking about all of the different ingredients used throughout the book, such as nutritional yeast, because again, that's one of those ingredients someone new to the plant-based lifestyle might be like, I don't know what nutritional yeast is. Well, they can go to my pantry section and easily find out what that is. Agar-agar, that actually leads off the pantry section.
Well, what I was surprised to find out, now, I love nutritional yeast. Nutritional yeast. And I'm not sure if I'm going to get into the swing of things and call it nooch, but I'll do my best. But I get 5 pounds at bulkfoods.com. And I store a lot of it, but I like to have it on hand, and it's so much more economical to buy it in the big volumes rather than buy the little 3-4 ounce sizes in the store. And I didn't know that bulkfoods.com has agar, so I'm going to have to check that out. I learned that from your book, too.
I know, it's fantastic, right? And for any of your listeners who aren't familiar with nutritional yeast, I have a hard time saying nooch as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always afraid I'm going to mispronounce it and it's going to come out somehow strange.
Yep.
But nutritional yeast is really fantastic. You know, obviously, I use it in the cheeses and some of the dishes, but it's really great just to sprinkle on a salad. It shouldn't be confused with brewer's yeast or any other kind of yeast.
Right.
But it has a really great earthy, cheesy taste that you can just sprinkle on any kinds of food, and it just adds that cheesy little kick very quickly.
Okay, a couple of other recipes I must mention. Now, I'm a big fan of tempeh Reubens, and you have a beautiful Reuben recipe with your real vegan Swiss cheese.
Yes, and that was a no-brainer because I have always loved Reuben sandwiches, and of course it was something that I had to let go, which was fine. And I'm like, why do I have to let go of it anymore?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let go of it anymore. I want a Reuben sandwich that we can all enjoy. And this is a sandwich that, you know, with the tempeh and the vegan Swiss, that your more carnivorous pals out there are going to love. You know, and that's the thing about, you know, my recipes. These are recipes written for everyone to enjoy. You know, in the beginning, I had some people come to me when I started the book, and there was a discussion, and, you know, all these discussions go on. How are you going to spell cheese? And I'm like, well, well, what do you mean? And, you know, and so they're, well, maybe you should put a Z at the end or a Z-E. And I'm like, no, that's not how you spell cheese. That just makes it look like you're trying to get away with something. I'm not trying to get away with anything. I'm creating cheese. This is cheese. This is cheddar. This is Swiss. This is mozzarella. They're all cheese. Just because they don't happen to have dairy, that does not mean they're not cheese. These are cheese. And, you know, I just did an interview with an NPR station out in Wisconsin, which, you know, is right in the heart of dairy country.
Ooh. Yeah.
It was fantastic. I got such a great response from it, and, you know, and we talked about that. And I'm like, look, you know, you have to sort of look at these cheeses, say my cheddar. Well, in the dairy world, we all know what cheddar tastes like, but you have a lot of different brands of cheddar. Well, guess what? Some of those brands of dairy cheddar taste a lot better than others. This is just consider this maybe the John Schlim brand of cheddar. It's just another cheddar that's being put out there. We don't have to, you know, specify that this is plant-based or vegan. You know, I think people feel they need to make excuses to their friends when they come over and say, oh, this is vegan. You don't need to do that. It's delicious food everyone's going to enjoy.
Right. Well, that's language for you. I mean, I'm thinking as a feminist, when we have to qualify, normally you go to a doctor, but if she's a woman, then you say, I'm going to a woman doctor, and you always have to kind of add these adjectives to kind of apologize or explain something that isn't what is considered normal. And then we do it with cheese or with butter. Everybody says vegan butter, but in some ways you want to say that, or at least in a restaurant or somewhere where you want to know the food is vegan, you want somewhere that it clarifies that. But there have been lots of arguments from companies that make milk about soy companies calling their product soy milk, because the dairy people thought that they had this ownership of the word milk, which is ridiculous because we have mother's milk, human milk. We have coconut milk. There's a lot of different milks out there. And
that's right. Well, I would say
crazy.
To them, have you asked a cow their opinion?
Yeah,
I think
really.
They'd be okay with us calling almond milk and rice milk and soy milk milk. I think they'd be perfectly fine with that.
Okay, so we have a minute left, and I didn't want to end without mentioning your fried olive stuffed with smoky cheese hummus. This is a crazy rich, decadent dish.
Well, you know, the great thing about that dish, I am in the midst of working with a local university here, the University of Pittsburgh at Bradford, and this semester, three classes in their hospitality management program are incorporating the cheesy vegan cookbook into their curriculum,
wow.
Which is so exciting.
Yeah.
And none of these students are vegan or vegetarian. So
wow.
They're learning about it. So not yet. Maybe they will at the end of this, but they're throwing a big tasting at the end, and that is one of the dishes they're serving at the tasting. And I'm like, this is just so cool that, you know, the cheesy vegan is becoming part of a college curriculum. And that means that, you know, it's just one more step forward.
That's right.
in this. But yes, that dish is delicious. The smoky hummus, even on its own, is fantastic. But you stuff it in some olives and fry them up. Yum,
yep.
yum, especially
I'm
the holidays.
I'm saying party. That's party time.
Yes.
John, thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure. And thank you for creating all of these wonderful, delectable, delicious recipes for us to enjoy, compassionate and cruelty-free and all of that gooey good stuff.
You are most welcome. It is always a pleasure. And I will be watching for that Egger costume.
All right. I'm going to get working on that.
One of the listeners out there will do it.
Okay.
It does. I want to see that.
Great. Well, people can check out your website, johnschlim.com,
yes.
And there's a few consonants in there, but it's John, S-C-H-L-I-M-M.com. Okay, thanks for joining me, John.
I'm
Karen Hartglass, and we've come to the end of the show. And visit me at responsibilityandliving.com. And remember, let's say it all together, have a delicious week. Bye-bye.